Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the first Sunday of the season of Christmas. Would you please stand as we sing together our opening hymn, Good Christians All Rejoice. Be with you. As we gather this morning, we remember Nancy Capern, who died last week on Tuesday, the 23rd of December. Her funeral will be held here at St. Luke's on Tuesday, the 6th of January. It's a week on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And we give thanks for Nancy's life and pray for her family at this time. Let us pray. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've received Nancy by baptism into the family of your church on earth and granted her the gift of eternal life. She ate with us the bread of life and drank from the cup of salvation. We give thanks for all your goodness to Nancy in Christ our Saviour. Amen.
Jesus himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, in your mercy, bring us to share the divine life of Jesus Christ, who came to share our human life and who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Seated. We haven't got any children with us today, but don't worry. I'll just tell you roughly what I was going to tell them. I said, well, I'd sit down. Sorry, Jane. Sorry. I thought, what is this? Is this missing what it's tied onto? But also, how long have I got to wait to open it? It's 362 days to Christmas. That's a long wait. And then I thought, well, actually, it's still Christmas, despite what you might think in the shops. Didn't they have any spot any Easter eggs in the shops yet?
They've got hot cross buns.
Okay, wonderful. But we are still in the season of Christmas. We've still got our front hall for Christmas. We're still white. We've still got our Advent wreath lit. We are still celebrating Christmas. In fact, we carry on celebrating even after next Sunday is the Feast of the Epiphany, which is the end of the 12 days of Christmas. We will still carry on celebrating Christmas. Christmas, the message that Jesus came to us, came to bring a message for the world. And actually, this gift tag actually should apply to all of us, because we are the gift, God's gift to the world, as we can tell the message of that, of what the Christmas actually means. And isn't that the gift that keeps on giving? I'm sure that's a phrase that somebody used. Oh, that's Wills, isn't it? Or something, I don't know. But the gift of Christmas keeps on giving, and through us, we keep on giving, and we keep on sharing God's hope for the world that desperately needs it. So we'll move on to our Bible readings and letters, as I often do it, or I can do at 9 o'clock, pray before we read the scripture. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not act deceitfully. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and pity, it was he who redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. For the word of the Lord. And we share Psalm 148, reading alternate verses. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from heaven. O praise him in the heights. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light.
Praise him, you lights of heaven, and you waters that are above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, all he commanded, and they were made.
He established them forever and ever. He made an ordinance which shall not pass away.
O praise the Lord from the earth. Praise him, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and air, mist and snow, and storm wind fulfilling his command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts of the wild and all cattle,
winged things and winged birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens, all their children together,
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His glory is above earth and heaven, and he has lifted the high on all of his people.
Therefore he is the praise of all his servants, of the children of Israel, a people that is near him. Praise the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 2, starting at the 13th verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken for the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Words of my mouth, meditations of all our hearts, be accepted in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, as our gospel passage, we've heard that part of a nativity story that I wrote is all too often forgotten, or all too often we want to forget, perhaps. We had on Thursday the angels and the shepherds, the baby in the manger. Next Sunday is Epiphany, and the time when we remember the visit of the Magi and their gifts. But today, we've jumped ahead of that, past the story of visitors from the East, and read of Jesus and his family fleeing away from a megalomaniac and murderous King Herod. All according to Matthew, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, which is a bit disturbing as well, maybe. I think Matthew is really steeped in the Old Testament, and he is drawing us to remember parallels with the story of Moses and the Exodus. In both stories, we have an escape from a ruler who was threatened by the news of a newborn infant and God leading them to a place of safety. The gospel writer, just as Moses led the people, God's people, to safety in the promised land, Jesus is the one who came to rescue God's people and bring them to the new kingdom. And there's also allusions here to a later period of Jewish history. Jeremiah, whom Matthew quotes, was writing at the time of the Babylonian exile. Rachel's tomb is traditionally thought to be in Ramah, some 6 miles north of Jerusalem, along the road that the exiles would have taken to an unknown fate. Perhaps we don't want to focus on the central part of the story, Herod's killing all the baby boys in Bethlehem because of his fear of a rival. Sounds an evil thing to have happened, and some scholars doubt the historicity of it, but certainly what we do know about Herod from other histories is that he was really quite megalomaniac. He killed his wife and 3 of his sons, and to make sure that there would be widespread mourning at the time of his own death, he ordered that a member of every family was to be killed when he died. Therefore, to kill maybe 20 boys under age 2 in a small region wouldn't have been out of character. But whether that happened or not, Matthew is trying to draw us to remind us that the world to which Jesus came is a world where political power play often leads to violence, the inevitable results of a fallen world. And just turn the news on, things have not changed. War and conflict are all around. The world to which Jesus came is not just the world of 2,000 years ago in Palestine, it's our world today. And it's this to this world that Jesus and his family travel. They don't stay where they are. They're already going out. Even at the very beginning of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel ends with a great commission to go out to all nations. But right at the very beginning, they already go. They already are moving out. The shepherds return to their field. The Magi have headed back east. But Jesus' mission continues. And the other thing that we read from there is that we have that passage quoted from Jeremiah, which sounds rather dire, full of lamentation. But the story of God's people is all up and down. If you read any of Isaiah, if you read Jeremiah, the big great prophets, if you read the Psalms, they always seem to sandwich lamentation with praise as well. So I'd like to read you from Jeremiah 31 that includes the passage that Matthew quoted. But see the context. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For there is a reward for your work, says the Lord. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children shall come back to their own country. The prophet acknowledges that there is cause for lamentation, but also that there is cause for rejoicing, cause for joy. There is hope for the future. And I'm sure that is what Matthew was directing our attention to. Yes, the world is a place where so often the powers of evil seem to have their sway, but the real power remains with God, who guides his people. And so we have the themes in this gospel passage of guidance and provision. At the start of our gospel passage, the angel of the Lord directs Joseph and his family to go to a foreign land. That certainly wasn't part of his plans for his family, to leave their home country, become refugees. Today, we would probably call them illegal immigrants, with all that label entails. But Joseph has had his dreams before. Those of us who were here on Christmas Eve service remember the story of, we looked at Joseph and his dreams. He was attuned to God's guidance, and so he acted promptly. And then at the end of the passage, we find Joseph and his family leaving the land of Egypt and returning to their home country. They were to live in Nazareth, which, as far as the inhabitants of Jerusalem were concerned, was a backwater. But in fact, it was a busy place. It was a crossroads where caravans carried goods to the ends of the Roman Empire. So it was a place where Jesus could grow up and learn about the world. It was the right time for him to appear on the public scene. So there was a reason for that as well. As we continue to live in unsettled times, this text reminds us that God's care and power exists in these uncertain times. We don't understand necessarily how this would work. It may not be the way we expect it to work, but if we are attuned to the voice of the Spirit and we're willing to follow where and God will call. I was reading around this passage this week and I came across a lovely legend that as Jesus, Mary and Joseph were on their way to Egypt, they were weary. They came upon a cave and took refuge in it. It was a cold night, so cold that the ground was covered with hoarfrost. A spider saw the baby Jesus and wished he could do something to keep him warm that night, and so decided to do the one thing he could and spun his web across the entrance of the cave to make, as it were, a curtain. Along the path came a detachment of Herod's soldiers looking to carry out Herod's orders. When they come to the cave, they're about to search it, but their captain noticed the spider's web covered by the white hoarfrost stretched right across the entrance to the cave. "Look," he said, "at the spider's web there. It is quite unbroken. There cannot possibly be anyone in the cave, for anyone entering would certainly have torn the web." So the soldiers passed on and left the Holy Family in peace. And that is why, so this book I read, it says, we put tinsel on our Christmas trees, glittering white reminders of the spider's web, white with hoarfrost. Well, I don't know. And sometimes you think, well, things that happen that we're never quite sure whether things happen for a reason or not. But what we can be assured of, as Matthew does, is assures us that we have hope. Even when it looks like all there is around is cause for lamentation, that there is hope. God is still working, even through the worst the world brings. And that is the message of the incarnation, the promise of peace. That is why we celebrate Christmas not just on the 25th of December, not just on the 12 days of Christmas, but we remember and celebrate the incarnation every day of the year. Amen. Now this...
Stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
let us pray for the world and for the church. God of compassion, whose Son knew danger, suffering and exile even as a child, we pray for a world still marked by fear, violence and grief. Remember places where the Christian message of peace is sorely needed: Ukraine, Gaza and the West Bank, Myanmar, Sudan and South Sudan, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Tanzania, and all regions torn by conflict. Protect the vulnerable, comfort the bereaved, and guide the leaders of nations in the ways of justice, wisdom, and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy,
amen.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, who shared our flesh and blood, and who knows our sufferings and our joy. As the light of Christmas still shines among us, help your church to bear that light with faithfulness, humility, and love. We pray for your church throughout the world, especially the Anglican Communion, and today for the Church of the Province of Central Africa. Bless the Diocese of Ballarat, the parishes of Gold Coast, North and South, Woodford Correctional Centre and Canterbury College. Strengthen parishes and ministries that your people may proclaim hope, mercy and peace. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, we pray for our local community and for this parish of St. Luke's. We ask your blessing on all who are travelling during this holiday season. Grant safety on the roads, refreshment of spirit, and safe return to home and loved ones. We pray for schools and colleges connected with our parish, especially Marshall Road Primary, Salisbury Primary, and Yeronga Primary. Bless children, families, teachers, and staff, and surround them with your care. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, Jesus helps those who are being tested. We bring before you those who are sick, frail, or emotionally burdened, especially Ryan, Jocelyn, Peter, David, Jan, Robin, Maxine, Rita, Sharon, Margaret, Don, Deb, Georgina, Glenda, Sue, Liz, Angie, Shane, Natalie, Lynette, Sue, Rose, Al, Jennifer, Sandy, Mary, and Lee. Surround them with your healing presence and grant them strength and peace, and give wisdom and compassion to those who care for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all consolation, we commend to your loving care those who have died, especially those remembered at this time from our parish book of remembrance. Ivo Jeffrey Carl Wacker, Beryl Mary Ricketts, Cecilia Foster Erickson, George Henry Balderman, and Benjamin Hanscombe. Grant comfort to all who grieve. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, the grace of God has dawned upon the world with healing for all. Let us bring our weaknesses and infirmities to him, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith. Harden you and set you free from all your sins. Strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Four on Zoom. Peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, What Child Is This? Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honour be yours, always and everywhere, mighty Creator, ever-living God. We give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who, by the power of your Spirit, was born of Mary and lived as one of us. In your Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. By his death on the cross and rising to new life, he offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful God, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and wine. And we pray that by your word and Holy Spirit, we who eat and drink them may be partakers of Christ's body and blood. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again, giving you thanks, he gave to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, we do as our Saviour has commanded, proclaiming his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. And looking for his coming again, we celebrate with this bread and this cup his one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us with the body of your Son and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father, in songs of never-ending praise. Break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body.
For we all share in one body.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Jesus, bear our sins.
Let us pray. God of heaven, dwelling among us, we thank you for feeding us with this holy food. By your grace, keep us ever faithful to your word made flesh, that as his body in the world, we may bring your presence to all people. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Give us grace, go thankfully and with courage in the power of your Spirit. Amen. So let's stand as we sing our missional hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. The Son of God, born of Mary, fill you with his grace to trust his promises and obey his will, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.
Amen.